Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, October 21st. I'm Ray Graff. Well, we are celebrating today a record-breaking fun drive, and you all did it. We ended in record time on Thursday afternoon, and so, well, you know, you got to celebrate, right? So, hey, let's have a pizza and beer party here on Food Friday. We have Rocco DeFazio of DeFazio's Pizzeria in Troy here, or he hopefully will be here. But George DePiro of Druthers Brewing is here, and he brought the beer. We got a show. You got a beer question? You got a pizza question? Now's the time to call. Get in line. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Fresh from the oven and the brewery. Your calls are coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. What a fun drive it was. What a magnificent showing by our listeners. And so, to celebrate this grand Herculean effort, we're going to have a pizza and beer party here on Food Friday. You know pizza, right? You've had it before. It can be simple. Bread, sauce, cheese, whatever you want. We have an expert here in the studio with us today, Rocco DeFazio. Opened up DeFazio's Wood-Fired Pizzeria in Troy in 1989 and has since won numerous Best of Awards from around the capital region for its unique pizza offerings and artisanal crusts. Rocco, an expert in Italian foods, and we'll do an Italian Christmas show as we did last year. We'll do that in December. He's a Siena College grad, a former science teacher. So you got the pizza. You need to wash it down. So what better than beer? And we have one of the best beer brewers in the entire region here today. George DePiro, Chief Brewing Officer of Druthers Brewing, is with us. George has won 3 gold medals at the Great American Beer Festival, not wearing them today, had a taste of gold, silver, and bronze at the World Beer Cup. He is a self-described biochemist turned beer geek who refers to his OCD as simply attention to detail. Hey, George, Rocco, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on short notice to be here today.
Anytime.
Love it.
So before we start, let's raise a glass here.
Ah, saluta.
And just a word of great praise for our listeners for an amazing showing. And they're the best listeners in the world. And it was I've been here almost 19 years. 19 years next month. And I don't know if I've seen a fun drive go quite like that. So for everybody who kicked in the lockbox, for everybody who kicked in during the drive,
Salute.
We thank you. Oh. Oh, George, what is that?
That's my Scottish-style 80-shilling ale, which is poorly named Druthers 80-shilling. And it won a silver award at the World Beer Cup just a few months ago.
So good.
Yeah, it's a very caramelly beer, malty, and normal strength, like 5% alcohol. So to get that much flavor, malt flavor into a 5% beer is a pretty special thing to do.
Well, I got to tell you, before the show started, I wolfed down a piece of the pizza bolognese from Rocco, and still have the taste in my mouth, and the beer goes awfully nicely with that. And so, what's your favorite pairing of beer? What kind of beer goes best with pizza in your mind? Well, by the way, let me give you the number. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551.
Oh, you know, years ago when I was a small child, pizza was really just like a circle of bread with mozzarella and tomato sauce on it.
And Rocco's recoiling right now.
Right, and that's not what pizza is anymore. So you couldn't say just one beer is going to go with all sorts of different pizza because there's so many different pizzas now. But one beer that I have that does go with lots of pizzas, and it's trite, but there's a reason it's trite, I guess. It's because it's good, is Pilsner. My Golden Rule Pilsner is a lager beer, not like Budweiser, Stella Artois. This is full-flavored Pilsner, the way it's made in Europe. All malt, lots of hop character, and while I'm trying to talk, I'll pour one here.
Yeah, well, why not?
Of course.
And, of course, Rocco, he's really old school. He brings his own Prosecco because, as you said beforehand, this is what
Italians drink.
Number one pizza.
Yeah, when they served Italians last year, and they asked them, what do you prefer to drink with your pizza? Number one was Prosecco. Number two was beer.
Isn't Prosecco too sweet for that?
I love it. I like it.
Oh, I love it too.
And too sweet might be.
To go with pizza, I mean. Of course, I like Coke. I like a glass of Coke with pizza too.
Coke was third.
Really?
Oh, soda.
Can't go wrong.
No.
Can't go wrong.
It must be the carbonation.
Maybe.
You know?
The bubbles are good.
It helps to break up the fat if there's cheese on the pizza. And the oil to have the bubbles in there in your mouth.
Ah, that must be.
Well,
it
one
then.
Thing about that, I had a piece of the pizza bolognese, almost no cheese on there.
There is no cheese on
it. No cheese? Well, I see a little on the top, right?
That's pecorino, no mozzarella.
Really?
I'm sorry. The two pizzas I brought have no mozzarella cheese because I told you, I think the last time I was here, the three most important things about pizza are crust, sauce, and toppings.
Mm.
Mozzarella isn't up there in the top three.
So is that an American thing?
That is definitely an American thing.
It's a good thing. Nothing wrong.
It's an American thing.
It's also
thank you, Rob.
Mozzarella is really a texture thing. It adds that nice chewy gooey texture, but there's not a lot of flavor to mozzarella.
There's no flavor.
George, you want to try a slice of this pizza?
Try the bolognese.
Yes, okay.
And know what's unique about that bolognese pizza? Did you catch it? The heat?
Oh God, yeah. Oh.
It's made with our spicy red pepper crust.
Oh yeah. That's right. That's right. And it lingers, and that's why the beer, even though I had the slice during the news, the beer still went down so nicely.
Yes, but that is a spicy red pepper crust, which I like to match with the bolognese.
And how many different crusts do you do over
there? We make seven, and one being a beer crust.
Really?
Yeah, we do a brown ale crust, which is absolutely delicious.
What does it add to your crust?
A little sweetness to the crust, a little more flavor, and the texture of the crust it must be because of the hops and we flatten it first. That's one of the things we do. We flatten the beer, take the carbonation out, so all we use is beer. There's no water in our pizza.
Really?
And it's all beer.
That's very interesting.
Have you ever tried that?
The same at Druthers. They use beer to make all the dough.
And it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah. What's probably happening is the pH of the beer is quite a bit lower than water. It's acidic. And that's going to change the way the gluten is developing in the flour. You've also got a little bit of alcohol. That's not going to make too much of a difference. And, of course, the malt flavor, which will add a little bit of sweetness, although it's mostly fermented out. But I think it's really the pH is the key to.
Well, this is great. I got to tell you, after a long, fun drive, it was a short, fun drive, but it's a lot of work. And I want to thank everybody again, and especially thank Rocco and George for being here today. And we'll get to the phones in a moment, 800-348-2551. The Pilsner is outstanding.
Oh, thank you.
Really delicious.
Yeah, this is
very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Love it.
This is a style that novice craft drinkers, I think, just dismiss when they walk into a brew pub.
Too light.
They'll look at the board and see, oh, that's their light offering. I don't want to drink that. I want something with full flavor. Not realizing that a traditionally made Pilsner is a full-flavored style and really can show off the brewer's craft well because it's not so in your face with flavors that you can hide mistakes. You really have to have it on to make a good Pilsner.
And it's really, there's the hint of sweetness to it.
Yes.
And it tastes light, but not too light.
Right.
It's really, I could see it going with a slice. I might have to have another slice here. Let's go to the phones.
It goes well with the bolognese one. I'm trying that.
Are
now.
You enjoying that?
Yes.
Yeah, Rocco does good work. Let's go to Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
Hi, Ray. I have surprised. It's one of the few times I'll be able to match the plumbing show with the pizza.
Nice.
Because the last time I called was about this heating system that's in a bake oven system I'm building, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. How'd it work out? You're alive.
I redesigned it so I have a Sistine Chapel under the bake oven, and I'll put my heater system in there. It has a cantilevered marble front, and the oven is 44 inches in diameter, roughly. I have one in the house that I built 26 years ago that's about 36 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
So I've been using, and all we cook in it is pizza, basically. Now, I know something I discovered, I know the old wives' tale about putting their arms in the oven and burning the hair, and then they knew it was hot enough.
Rocco's nodding, by the way.
But you know, if you remember Fahrenheit 451,
sure.
You know, that's the temperature of carbon. So when the brick gets up, it turns black when you burn your wood fire in it, and then when it gets to 451 plus degrees, it turns back to being red, and so you know that you've burned your carbon off. And then I burn it for another half an hour or so, and then rake all that out and put it in the fireplace. In this case, we'll probably keep the fire going in the back.
Yeah.
My question is, we've done hundreds of pizzas actually that way, and the crust always come out differently, no matter how careful we are. And I'd never thought about using beer. That's a good idea, rather than water. Should I put in with the pizza, since the oven is burning, should I put some pans of water, if I have place for that, to preheat as I'm getting the pizza into the oven? What do you guys think?
Okay.
Some places do add pans of water. They add more moisture to the air, so it isn't that real dry heat.
Does that even out the spread of the temperature throughout the oven?
It really does. Yeah,
that's the thing with a brick, with a fire.
The wood
it's
fire.
Sort of an uneven heat.
Yeah, it is very uneven. So and there are special wood ovens that come in from France that have misters now that release that. I was told.
Well, Saratoga Masonry Supply has one that they make and it's, they're selling to the public. And,
right.
But I've made about five or six of these, and the point is to keep the dome low. There's one in Manchester that, as you're going out of town, that is the guy keeps the fire in the back all the time and does his pizzas that way. I wonder if that's something you've ever seen or experienced.
All right, Rocco, and then we got to take a break here.
The oven going all the time. Not
necessary. In the back, yeah. Like he has a fire in the back, and he puts maybe four or five pizzas in, and then he takes it out. Now, I don't know how he manages to keep the temperature. He doesn't have a thermometer in it.
Do you use a thermometer,
Rocco?
No.
No?
No. Okay. No.
All the geniuses don't do that. Hey, Mark, we got to take a break here, but thank you for the call, and I'm glad you lived. We did a home improvement show, and he tried this very
complicated.
It sounded scary. And I said, call if you live, and he lived. 800-348-2551. It's a pizza and beer party here on Vox Pop Food Friday. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, an undergraduate theater program in liberal arts with concentrations in design and technology, theater studies, and performance. newpaltz.edu/theatre. Nine Pin Cider Works, hard cider made from locally sourced apples. Tasting room, Wednesday through Sunday at 929 Broadway, Albany. Be revolutionary, consider the apple, and drink New York apples. ninepincider.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. And Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarsky's.com.
Vox Pop, it's a Food Friday. Ray Graff here today, joined by Rocco DeFazio and George DePiro. It's a beer and pizza food party here on Food Friday. Our number is 800-348-2551. Our new producer, Jim Lavoulis, is in here grabbing a slice. That's the bolognese pizza.
Oh, it's very good.
And you know what? It's got a little spice. I'm of a German heritage. Spice. I love spice. But it doesn't love me, so I've been sweating.
I can see that.
Ordinarily, it's flop sweat, but this is actual sweat from the red pepper in the crust. Yeah. So when you get to that, Jim, you'll need a beer. Actually, George DePiro can pour you a beer if you want.
Works here. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Being treated well.
And, come on back if you need more. Let's go to the phones. And Bill in Glenville. Bill, you're on.
Hi, Ray. I have a question for George about making beer. I want to brew a maple porter, and I'm wondering how much maple syrup to put in a 5-gallon batch.
Ooh. I've actually never made a maple beer before. It's one of the few things I didn't get around to as a home brewer. And as a professional brewer, it would be so prohibitively expensive to do that I've never done it. But I would say I always err on the side of subtle because you can always...
I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, you can always fix it on the next batch. I would probably... but that said, maple syrup is a pretty subtle flavor. So I would probably start with a quart in a 5-gallon batch. All the sugar is going to ferment out and leave you with actually a pretty dry finish. So to get that maple character in there, don't hop it. So that there's nothing competing. Don't hop it in the kettle so you have no hop aroma so that you're not getting competition for the maple aroma. Use a little bit of darker caramel malt to help support the maple character and see where you go. Quart, a half gallon should be plenty, I would think. And a gallon would probably be like really going high.
Too much. Okay.
Thank you for the call.
Good thing I make my own maple syrup, so it'll be
there. You go.
Inexpensive.
Well, and even if you don't make your own maple syrup, a gallon of maple syrup is it's kind of expensive, but a home brewer can be that extravagant on a 2.5-gallon batch. So if it costs you $90 to make a couple of cases of beer, it's fun and special. If you're a commercial brewer and you actually need to like pay the bills based on the beer, then you can't spend an extra $10,000. On
the overhead,
that's...
you can write it off, right?
Right.
Well,
if you got Trump's account, you'd be all set, right? You amortize the maple syrup. All right, thanks a lot for the call.
We can be political on the show.
Thank you.
Let's try not to. This is a happy time, and I got to tell you, while we took that call at 800-348-2551, Rocco, I had the olive focaccia.
Oh,
God. All right, tell us about it, and then I'll tell you about the beer that I drank with it.
Okay, we offer a pizza making class, which I'd like to plug right now, which is going to be Sunday, November 24th,
all right,
if anybody would like to take this class. So one of the things we show people how to make are these focaccia breads.
Awesome.
And the one that you're having right now is a 4-olive focaccia bread.
Love olives. Love them.
Aren't they great?
Yeah.
And we keep them in the brine, and then we pour some of the brine over the focaccia and then press the different olives into the crust. But it takes you about 5 minutes to put this together.
You're kidding me.
No.
It's so light. I mean, George, you had a piece.
Yeah.
It's got a lightness to it.
Very light.
But
it's the dough.
The crust is the perfect part, in my mind, for that. It's so thin and crisp.
You're not going to learn that in one class.
Well, we will show it. That is... And I probably told you this once before. This recipe for our dough isn't a pizza dough. It's my grandmother's Italian bread recipe, which we tweaked a little bit. But that tastes like Italian bread. It doesn't taste like
pizza dough. Right, you're right about that.
And that's what it is. And we show you how to make the dough, make the focaccia. I also brought a deep dish pizza for the first
time. Oh, did
you
now? Oh, did you?
I brought one of those.
Oh, really?
And you will also experience one of those. And these are all the things we teach in this class. And strombolis, focaccia. It's a great class.
So you have a new facility, right?
We're going to be moving into a new facility next year. We, matter of fact, go in front of planning next week with our beautiful drawings.
Do you bribe them with pizzas?
Of course we
you
do.
You bring them in. Hey, all right. Listen,
this is what you're going to get.
Let's take that vote. So is the store gone?
We're going to put both the store and the pizzeria in this new facility, which is right up the street from us.
Well, the original store is a classic. You know that, right?
I know. But we have to move on.
All right.
I know.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Rocco DeFazio of DeFazio's Wood-Fired Pizzeria in Troy is here. Also, George DePiro of Druthers. Okay, now I've been drinking this brownish beer with the focaccia. And what is this?
This is Fist of Karma Brown Ale.
Nice.
And it's an American-style brown, so it's bolder in its hop character than other brown ales you might try. So when you smell it, you get kind of a citrusy, hoppy note. Plus a little bit of dark malt in there, and then when you sip it, You get nice citrusy hop flavor up front, but it's totally balanced by Munich malt and some caramel malt. And then it goes into a finish that's assertively bitter, but still with the malt foundation under it.
Now, you are fairly young, but back in the day, Bill Newman had a brewery down North Albany, I guess you would say.
Yeah, not too far from where Druthers is.
And I'm talking early 80s.
Right.
And he made a winter ale, and I got a flashback to that when I was drinking this. It has a certain quality to it. It's very fresh, for one thing.
Right.
But it's got a certain taste of that old Bill Newman winter ale.
I would
awesome.
Guess the caramel malt, but I never did have his beer. I'm A, a little too young,
yeah.
And B, I'm not from the area. So oh. I missed his
brewery. He was way ahead of the curve.
Yes. I know brewing. Bill. I've met him many, many times. We used to be neighbors, and he's a great guy. And yes, way ahead of the curve.
And did you have a sip there, Rocco?
Very good.
Yeah?
Excellent.
You like your Prosecco, though.
I like my Prosecco.
And I got to tell you, these glasses, it's like a prop from a science fiction movie. Wine glasses of the gods. All right, let's go back to the phones. Tom in Greenfield, Mass. Tom, you're on.
Yeah, hi. My question is, do you ever use the beer and the carbonated, fully carbonated as a leavening agent?
Leavening agent.
No. You talk about our pizza crust, or are you talking about
yeah,
beer?
In the crust, yeah.
No. We find that it's our crust comes out much better when we take the carbonation out. So we let it sit overnight, and we have much better results with it.
Because I've made beer bread, plenty of times. And uh-huh. That instead of yeast, using beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, when we first wanted to make our beer crust, we asked the people at Brown's Brewery, who I'm sure you know, and they recommended their brown ale because that's what they add when they do their bread, the same thing. But we like taking the carbonation out.
And are you same way, George, at Druthers?
No, I'm not sure how we give the beer to the kitchen, and I'm not sure how long they sit on it before they use it, but I think they often use it pretty fresh.
Oh, really?
The carbonation in the beer isn't going to be a great leavening agent because the CO2 is not going to last through the mixing of the dough.
Right.
You're going to beat it all out. So that's I don't really know that it would make a difference that much one way or the other.
But there is some yeast in beer, right?
Not always. If the beer is filtered to remove the yeast, then there's not going to be any yeast in the beer. And even if there is yeast in the beer, if the beer is well made, it's only got Saccharomyces cerevisiae in it. And brewer's yeast cannot eat starch, can only eat sugar. So it won't work for that purpose. Right. It can't break down the flour like other yeasts might be able to. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it'll just sit there and do nothing for you. That's why a lot of flours have malt flour added to them because there's enzymes in malt that turn starch into sugar. So by putting a little malt flour into a flour mix, you'll make your dough, and in an aqueous environment, those enzymes will slowly turn some of that starch into sugar, and even the baker's yeast will get a faster start that way.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Rocco, I mean, you strike me as somebody who has old school art. Does the chemistry of the whole thing translate with what you do?
It does, but we don't. It's, again, handed down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that part of it.
I bet you if you explained it to your grandmother, she probably would have understood exactly what George is talking about instinctively.
Oh, of course. Of course. Because it's from things that are handed down and the way it's the origins of it and why you do those certain things.
It's one of the great things about the books and the TV show America's Test Kitchen.
Yeah.
I being a scientist, I love watching that and learning the science behind things in cookbooks that don't fully explain it.
Exactly.
Your grandmother doesn't explain to you because she doesn't know what a melanoidin is.
Right.
But, why is that crust so delicious over there? Well, because in a high heat oven, the protein in the flour, and there's a little water still in the flour, the sugar, the protein are reacting in the presence of water and heat to make melanoidins. Melanoidins are compounds that are super important in all cooking and in brewing. The brown ale has dark malts that are really rich in malonoidins. That's what gives it that toasty malt flavor, same as bread crust. It gets that toasty flavor from malonoidins, and it's just amino acid, sugar, in water with a lot of heat.
Still, give me a grandmother over a scientist any day.
Any single day.
But the difference is, here's where the scientist is useful. If you want to do it exactly the same way every time.
Time after time, yeah, exactly.
You got to have the science.
Well, that's a good point. But, I mean, you've made beer batches. You've been brewing a long time now.
Right.
And you've had a batch that, God, what did I do wrong here?
Not in a while.
No?
Yeah. And if things, like, if I get an idea in my head for a new beer, I can usually hit that idea in one try now. Mm. Sometimes it'll take two, but never more than two tries. When things do go wrong, which, like I said, it really hasn't been in a long time, I do know what's wrong and can avoid that the next time.
All right.
It's the same thing with sauces when, like, we're doing, like, our 12th type of sauce for the – matter of fact, we're coming out with a new seafood sauce for Christmas.
Oh, really?
And yeah.
You going to bring it?
I'm definitely going to bring it.
So,
and it's like you said, it's your constant repetition and making sure, and you have that foundation. And usually I can usually nail it that first time. I'll tweak it a little bit just to – but, yeah, after 30 years of doing something, you better –
No, but you have people who work for you. I've been in there before, and
I'm the only one who touched the sauces.
Oh, really?
Nobody.
You're the only one. So, do you write stuff down, Rocco?
No.
There's no succession plan.
Amazing. Amazing. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. It's a pizza and beer party in celebration of a great fun drive. And once again, my heavens, what a fun drive it was. I mean, look, the lockbox was a genius idea to begin with.
Very good.
So we went in with 456.
Wow.
And
that's a lot.
That's a lot.
We're almost halfway there.
Because people... Listen, they want to get back to regular programming, as irregular as this particular program happens to be. So, anyway, it worked out really well. And I only wish all the listeners could come in for some pizza.
And beer.
There wouldn't be enough.
Going back to your comments about consistency and quality control,
yeah.
We're getting a bottling line this winter, hopefully by January.
And so you don't bottle now?
No.
Just growlers?
Just draft out, on site at the two locations, Saratoga Springs and Albany, and then we sell draft beer to a lot of bars and restaurants in the area.
Right.
And we're going to start bottling, and being a scientist from the pharmaceutical industry, I've got a real mind for QC and QA. I want to make sure my beer has a shelf life longer than most small brewers have. So we've been starting a QC program, and I've started it up with an oxygen analyzer that tells us how much oxygen is getting into the beer at various steps in the process.
And is there an ideal amount of oxygen at various steps in the process?
Yes. In every step except for one, zero is the ideal.
Really?
Really. There's only one place where you want oxygen in the brewing process, and that's right when you're adding the yeast, because the yeast need oxygen to build sterols. Other than that, it would be best if my brewers and I were working in a room filled with nitrogen and wearing self-contained breathing apparatus. So
okay, now
no
you're going
oxygen.
Overboard. All right.
Yeah, and I joke with that with our service staff, and I think they only think I'm half joking and expect to see us in these suits with breathing apparatus.
Well, you've been on these airwaves many times, and it wouldn't surprise me. Let's put it that way.
It would be perfect, but the acquisition of this oxygen analyzer has taught me that even after 17 years of professional brewing and before that years of home brewing, I thought I was doing a great job keeping oxygen out of my product, but without any actual data to back that up, I really didn't know. And I found out, no, I'm not doing a great job. And the only reason I've been getting away with it is because at a brew pub, the beers are served so quickly and they're kept under ideal conditions that they don't have time to go stale.
Oh, you make a point, yeah.
But when your beer goes out into the world in bottles or cans, if you don't have control over oxygen and microbiology, they're going to be kept warm and the beer is going to go stale very fast. So,
well, when you bottle a beer, how long can you expect it to stay drinkable and fresh?
It really depends on the brewery.
Really?
Quite frankly, yeah. If they're doing a great job keeping oxygen out and keeping microbes out.
How about light?
Light ruins beer very, very quickly. So it reacts with the hop chemicals to make the same chemicals that skunks spray.
Skunks, yeah. That's why a green bottle, you know.
Because blue, green, and near ultraviolet light are the worst culprits.
In the old days, beverage centers would put their bottles of Moosehead in the window, and then you'd say, a little skunky today.
Yeah, so keep your beer cold, keep your beer dark, and drink it as soon as you can after you buy it.
That's... Rocco, when are you going to get an oxygen sensor?
I'm gonna go out and order one today.
Are you?
We go on Amazon.
Check out make sure the sauce has enough oxygen. So what I'm drinking here, George, reminds me of an old, I want to say it was a Kulmbacher, like a smoked wheat beer.
Now you're in the vein, but you're a little off. I do have a smoked wheat beer that we're going to have.
This has a smoky taste.
It's got a phenolic taste. It's from spices and a Belgian yeast. This is an apple ale.
Really?
With a Belgian yeast.
You're kidding me.
And Belgian yeast make a lot of esters and phenols. Esters are the chemicals common in fruit, and phenols are common in spices and in smoke. And this has cinnamon and ginger and a lot of apple cider in it. So
is terrific.
Thank you.
I thought I had like a hint of pineapple in this.
Pineapple.
I know it's in it, so I'm jaded. It's Macintosh cider, freshly pressed from Indian Ladder Farm, and we add it post-fermentation, meaning... You know,
Is that cheating?
No, that's the real way to do it.
Is it the Belgian way?
It's the better way. If you put the fruit in the kettle and it gets hot, it's going to taste like cooked fruit.
Yeah.
And that's not as pleasing. It's never as bright and fresh. If you put it in the fermentation after the main fermentation is done, and then we close the valve on the tank, so the yeast eat the sugar from the apple cider or whatever fruit you're using and turn it into alcohol and carbon dioxide. Since the tank is sealed, all that carbon dioxide dissolves into the beer. The beer becomes naturally carbonated, which is ideal. And all of the fruit essence was also sealed into the tank and never got hot, so it never gets that cooked taste.
Now, I know I've had some pizza and I've had some focaccia and stuff, but I'm not tasting a lot of fruit in this. I'm tasting some smoke. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, no. To me, it's apples and cinnamon.
Oh, I smell. I can smell the fruit, and yeah. As soon as I put it, I thought it was pineapple.
So the question is, what pizza will go with this?
And yeah, I was wondering that too.
We need to find out.
Because it's fruity.
Yeah.
Again, I would say the spicy.
The bolognese.
Yeah, with the spicy.
How about another slice of that then?
Because
I still have a little left.
Yeah. I think because the sweetness will take a bit of the heat away.
Yeah.
If you find it to be a little too spicy, but it's a gradual heat as you get
to
the crust. But it lingers.
A quarter way through the show, it really hits you.
Next one you want to try is the red roasted pepper pesto pizza, which is on the garlic herb crust.
Done. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back on a pizza and beer edition of Food Friday.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. Windy Hill Farm Orchard, Nursery, and Garden Shop, Great Barrington, offering fresh-picked apples, apple pies, cider donuts, and their own unpasteurized natural sweet cider, WindyHillFarmInc.com. And Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations, supports small farms and healthy eating. Field-goods.com.
Thank God for Count Basie, huh? I got a chance to have a whole slice of this pie and have a sip of beer here. It's a beer and pizza party on Food Friday. The number is 800-348-2551. Dave Lucas is here. What, you're having deep dish, huh? What are you having?
I'm having this.
The pesto.
Oh, it's really good. Oh, so tell
God,
us.
It is so good.
I just had a slice. Tell us what's in this pesto.
Well, let's start with the foundation, the crust. That is a garlic herb crust.
Mm.
And it has basil. It has parsley. Has a little bit of garlic. And the sauce is a red pepper pesto, which has a little heat in it. And it's we use roasted Italian red peppers, and there's basil in that. You can taste the heat, a little bit of heat. It just stimulates the tongue a bit. And again, there's no mozzarella on that pizza.
So that is, there's some cheese on there.
It's gorgonzola.
Oh, fantastic.
Which kind of blows up in your mouth.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. So that's
pecorino and a little bit of fontanella.
Is this a new one?
That is my pizza.
Yeah.
That's not on the menu.
Oh, really? Well, when's it going to be on the menu?
Soon.
So basically, we're talking about it. People are listening. They're going to want that pizza.
They can just they got to know all the ingredients, though.
All right.
It's
so
the red pepper pesto. Red pepper
and
pesto.
The spice in this paired very well with the apple.
Yes.
In
you
the
see
beer.
It?
Yeah.
It kind of takes it away a little bit, but it kind of. It's nice.
And Dave Lucas, you're a happy man right now, huh?
This is great, man.
You see, our Capitol Bureau Chief, Dave Lucas. So, George, what do you think of that one?
I like that.
Yeah?
Pesto is always a favorite.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And do you make your own pesto?
Of course.
Yeah?
We have our garden in the back. This year we plant about 200 basil plants.
Really?
Yeah. So we grow our own basil, all different types, purple, Italian, big leaf.
Did you see Dave Lucas? He snagged another
one. Snagged another one and ran out like he didn't notice.
He's no dummy. I watched it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. If you have a beer or pizza question for these guys who came here on short notice to help us do a Food Friday, and I got to say, one of my favorite ones in a long time.
How can it not be?
I mean, pizza and beer. Forget it. Now, you brought a dessert of some kind as well.
Yes. Like I was telling you earlier, my youngest son, John, spent 4 weeks in Italy backpacking through Italy, and he lived on these organic farms called Agrimisos.
Yeah.
And in the Emilia-Romagna region of Italy, he discovered piadina, which is a very thin flatbread that they make with lard. And try a little slice of that.
All right. Oh, we're going to try it now?
Well, of course you
okay.
are.
All right, fine.
And
oh, look at that.
Did you? No, where
that's
is it?
The wrong stuff.
The piadina.
That's over there.
Oh, we got so many boxes.
Yeah. Now, Ian Pickus, our news director, is in here, and he's got a huge chalice. What are you? Are you going to have this
fill that up with beer?
Here, I'll trade you. Hey, Zach, how about Mike 3?
Mike 3.
Oh, thank you.
What is going
on? I'm interrupting our greatest Food Friday just because we're running out of show, and just back to the station is an award that WAMC has won from the New York State Broadcasters Association for serving New York. And among the programs that were cited in WAMC receiving this award was Vox Pop and Ray Graff.
No, you're kidding me.
That's what the chalice is for.
Have they actually heard the show?
Yeah.
Fill it up with beer.
Everything's coming
fill
up,
it up with beer.
WAMC this week for
wow.
sure.
Wow, well,
so,
thank
anyway,
you, Ian.
And I'm not here just to get more pizza at this time.
Hey, have a
he's here to get beer.
Have a slice of a piazzadora here while we're here.
A piadina.
A piadina. Here, go ahead. Try that.
Try that.
Ian Pickus, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ian.
I'm going to chew off Mike.
Thanks a lot, man. Our number is 800-348-2551. All right, before we get back to the phones, let me try a bite of this. So what's in this, Rocco?
Mm. Tell me what's in it.
Mm. Oh, boy. So it's like Nutella?
It's Nutella.
And berries?
And strawberries.
And you had me at Nutella.
And bananas.
Now, DePiro's shaking his head. Why? Nutella is bad for you?
Oh, yeah. Read the ingredients. Yeah.
Why?
It's all trans fat.
But it tastes damn good.
Oh, what's wrong with that? This would be huge at the house. Now, listen, I've done Vox Pops with Rocco. My wife will call and say, you best come home with Rocco's pizza or you don't come home. So I've literally driven to Troy, driven back.
You don't live in that direction.
I live
the other way. Yeah.
So it's a long drive, and it's worth it every time. So my kids know from Rocco's work. But they don't know about this yet. So
they do now.
Hopefully they're not listening. Let's go back to the phones. And Rick on the road. Rick, you're on.
Yes, hi. Back in the 80s and 90s, there was a restaurant in Rhinebeck called La Parmigiana. It's where Terrapin is now. And that's where I first learned about, they call it a carciofi, and they use tahini instead of cheese.
Tahini?
Tahini. And it just seemed, quite lovely. And I was just wondering what his opinion is of, like, other cheese substitutes. I think it's the nicest. It's better than soy cheese or stuff like that. Love to hear about that.
All right. Any ideas? Tahini. What is tahini? Eggplant?
Sesame paste.
Sesame seeds.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, for hummus and stuff like that, tahini.
My favorite pizza is a pizza with no mozzarella cheese on it at all, and just like some pecorino, which is a sheep's milk cheese sprinkled over.
Yeah, this is like there's a vegan aspect to this as well, and that is sort of like, I think it's the best alternative, on all those vegan options. Some of them get kind of too much stuff, processed.
Way too processed. I had this one person came in once with this plastic cheese, and they wanted me to put it on. And I said, no, I refuse to put it on my pie. I will not put plastic cheese. But she said, but I'm a vegan. I said, but it doesn't matter. I'm not putting it on. You put it on.
Well, I mean, listen, the no cheese pizza is very good, too.
Right. Excellent. I mean, you can just have no cheese and make a vegan pie that way.
Right. But I do feel that tahini really gives it, and I use it like with Alfredo's and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a nice one.
Interesting.
I had a quick question for the Beer Tiger, if it's possible.
All right, the Beer Tiger.
Okay. I go into some specialty beer bars. I just have to like the light beer, such as like Stella Artois. And that's my preference. And when you go into some of these places, you can't get anything. I think they call, there's a certain strain that's lighter. But it's at times hard to find like a fine, to me a clean tasting beer. And I wonder, hurt other nerds such as myself on this matter.
Before you start with your answer, George, I would say that Pilsner we started with is as close to what Rick wants as you could possibly get.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, Stella Artois, which you mentioned by name, is really just no different in flavor than an old tasting Budweiser when you get it in this country. It's an international light lager. It's not a terribly exciting beer.
It's a good beer. I don't mind it. I'm at a bar. It's all right. DePiro's a snob.
Yeah.
Big time.
Well, it's not super flavorful, and it's definitely old. When you get a beer from Europe here, it's at least 2 months old before you even get it.
I did taste the blonde beer this week at a new beer pub, a specialty pub that opened up in Woodstock, New York. And I have to admit, it was the best I've tasted as far as for someone of my taste.
Well, I mean, if you're looking for lighter style beers that fit craft, I mean, one of the challenges for you is that a lot of craft drinkers are looking for a very full flavored experience, and so the brewers are catering to that very full flavored experience.
But if you go
to a good brew pub, you should be able to find a light-colored offering that will also be lighter in flavor. As Ray mentioned, my Golden Rule Pilsner is really, I think it would suit you very nicely.
And what's the alcohol content of that?
About 5 to 5.2.
So it's fairly light.
Right, yeah. It's a normal strength beer.
Yeah.
I will try to seek that out, and that's great.
And a German-style ale called Kolsch is one that's lesser. You don't see it very often here. If you got it from Germany here, it would taste very old. But if you found a brew pub making a nice Kolsch, that's a very subtle beer. There's a difference between subtle and boring. Mega beers are boring, but a nice Kolsch or a good Pilsner, they're more subtle.
Rick, thanks a lot for the call. Now, if you were to have a Stella or any European import on tap in a keg, it's not getting light degradation, anything else, It can be. It can taste fairly good.
It can taste okay. Yeah, yeah. Depending on the brewery it's from, the bigger breweries do, just like Anheuser-Busch can do. They do a fine job of keeping oxygen out, and they have total microbial control over their beers, so they do have a longer shelf life than a lot of craft beer has. But that said, depending on how it's shipped, it makes a huge difference. Shipping containers, there have been studies done where thermorecorders are put in shipping containers, and it hits 160 degrees in these things coming overseas. So that's pasteurization temperature.
Sorry, who does these studies?
People that are shipping foods overseas.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So hops that are coming from Europe and beer that are coming from Europe are hitting these temperatures because beer is its own worst enemy in this way. No pathogens can live in beer. So it'll never make you sick. It just gets stale.
Oh, no, I've had beer make me sick.
Well, that's a different thing if you... Yeah, but it wasn't because of bacteria growing in it.
Way too much of it.
Yeah.
So people treat beer as if it's indestructible because it won't make you ill. And so people keep it warm. They ship it warm. It's like, no, it really... Like all foods, keep it cold. Almost all foods, I guess. Bread doesn't like being cold.
What's the life of a tap?
In a keg. Metal keg.
Yeah.
It really depends on the brewery and the beer, honestly.
That's a rough number.
I like to have my beers within 2 to 3 months. That's
reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. But that's kept cold the whole time. The entire time. 4 degrees.
Now, I must confess, we don't get out much in my house, so I've not been to Druthers. But one of the things that drives me nuts, if you go to any particular bar and they have good beer, sometimes it tastes lousy. I only assume it's the lines.
It can be the lines. If you go into a bar and you're ordering a beer you've had before and it's from a bigger brewery, like say Sierra Nevada, where you know they've got good quality control.
Yeah.
Their product is very consistent and the beer doesn't taste right at this one bar. That's probably their lines. And then if you pause for a second and look around, you might notice I am the only person in here, even though it's Thursday night. And, wow, they probably just poured that after it's been sitting in the line unpoured for the past 4 days.
Well, you make a point.
And so, yeah, the beer sitting in a line for a while like that will absolutely, bacteria will grow backwards through the faucet. It'll get bad.
By the way, speaking of Sierra Nevada, I got to give a thumbs up to their Oktoberfest this year. Outstanding. Have you tried?
I haven't had their Oktoberfest this year.
I think they're in collaboration with a German brewer, but I'm not sure which one, but it's really good. It's one of the better domestic Oktoberfests you're going to find.
Wasn't it too hoppy?
No, I loved it.
Oh, I will go find
really
it.
Good. Mike in Sparta, New Jersey. Mike, you're on. Hello, Mark. Mike. No? Are you there? Oh, we lost him. No, we lost Mike. I apologize. Donna on the road. Donna, you're there.
Hi, yes, I am. Thanks. Great show, except you're killing up here. a question. Here's a question about pizza. A good pizza crust is a work of art. The thinner, the better, done in a clay oven, preferably imported from Tuscany, you know? Here's my question. Is it possible, I heard once from a very good pizza maker, to put cornmeal in the crust so it comes out crispy and delicate and light. Anybody ever hear that before?
Rocco.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Cornmeal is a good additive to, it's a very good additive to pizza crust. I highly recommend, if you make your own dough, add some cornmeal. It adds a nice body to it, holds it together, gives it a nice flavor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's
very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you made a good point there.
Yeah, because so much of pizza crust can be so doughy and emulsifiers and yuck.
Breaks apart.
So
no, cornmeal adds a lot of stability to the crust.
Interesting. Great. Thank you very much, everybody.
You're
great
welcome.
Show.
Thanks, Donna. Yeah, well, in my hometown when I was growing up, always cornmeal, and it was on the bottom. It kind of kept it.
Oh, yeah, they just throw it just so it doesn't stick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go over quickly to Bill in Great Barrington. Bill, you're on.
Hey, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I really like to cook, and I must say I think I'm pretty darn good at it. But there are some days when I just don't really have the time to, make a good pizza like you're talking about. So what I'd like to ask is, if I can throw together a quick 30-minute pizza crust at home, what's a good jarred sauce or commercially available tomato sauce that I can use in an emergency?
I like the Newman's stuff.
Paul Newman?
People, when they ask me, I yep. think Newman's does a very good job. Yeah, I would go with anything the Newman's do.
I've been liking Rao's, however I don't know how to pronounce it. That sauce has become a favorite in our house because, yeah, as Ray knows, when you have children and you work and your wife works, you don't have time to make tomato sauce.
No, not often. Not often.
So that's one that we've found, like, honestly, often it's better than what I could do myself.
Of course, Rocco, you have it over at your shop, right?
All the time.
That's right, man. Well, refrigerated. Listen, what is your website, by the way?
DeFazio'sPizza.com.
Hey, man, you came on short notice and you brought so much. We didn't even get to all the food, so you've done it again.
That's fine.
There's a podcast. You'll be doing that in a minute. George DePiro, website for Druthers?
Druthersbrewing.com.
Well done. The beer is good.
Thank you much.
Excellent.
Fine work. Gentlemen, thank you for being here. Thanks to everybody who chipped in during the fun drive. Support comes from Crown Maple Syrup, Hudson Valley, inviting listeners to a book signing for the new Crown Maple Cookbook with Crown Maple founder Rob Turner, Saturday, October 22nd at 11, crownmaple.com. Bread and Butter, located in North Amherst's Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly, breadandbutteramherst.com. And Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, offering over 100 chocolates, including truffles, butter crunch, and sea-salted caramels, located on Albany Street, Schenectady, and Newton Plaza, Loudonville, UncleSamsCandy.com. All right, Zach the engineer, you've been watching us eat and drink for a while. Now it's your turn. Zach was our engineer today. Your phones were answered by Barb King, our producer, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff, thanking you again for your splendid work during the fun drive, everybody. We couldn't do it without you, and we wouldn't want to do it without you. Coming up on Monday, Alan will be in the big chair for a medical Monday. So have a great weekend. Stand by for news.